sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John.
And welcome to the show as we continue our series. We're continuing our series as we celebrate International Women's Month. This week, we will review Catherine Bigelow's Near Dark. As always, y'all will give us the plot in five words. I'll give our first thoughts, and then we go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, go back to TV Corner, and we are reviewing Yellow Jackets Episode 7. Still too long. I got to trim that down. That's too many words.
Yellow Jackets Episode 7, called No Compass, where Shauna and Jackie finally have a conversation.
Yeah, I got to. That's too long. I got to figure out how to fix that.
Full disclosure, everybody. Also, I've been saying full disclosure so fucking much, which I'm pretty sure started as a joke, but it's now a permanent part of my vocabulary.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's my George Lopez makes a joke about us Mexicanos saying irregardless all the time. And I feel like that's my irregardless, except full disclosure is our real words.
Is it though? Is it?
I totally forgot. There is a big revelation on Jackie's part by reading a diary.
Yes, this is all true.
Forgot about that. We were trying to remember how the beginning. So we always remember the second half to the end of an episode. Where it was the
beginning. I was like, you didn't have to tell them, but now they know. We never remember these episodes. All right. Just tell us everything about this episode, John.
The thing is, I again forgot how it started. We're just picking up at the end of. Oh, Thais is now adult, and she is going into like a primitive state again.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Not fully explained. I don't know. I'm a little bit curious as to like.
You think it's her guilt? That's what I thought it was. That or she. Maybe. I also speculated, I believe, last week that maybe she lives with wolves or something, which didn't really occur. It kind of ends with Van getting half her face eaten. And dies, wink, John. And
so, funny thing about the animated, you can look up episodes and they will spoil the shit out of things for you.
Showtime, what are you gonna learn, man? Don't put spoilers in your thumbnails. Like,
also, don't tell your episodes, like, oh man, glad I'm not dead, even though some wolves ate my face.
Or cast, what's her name? Lauren Ambrose. And the only redhead.
No, but she's not Van. She's playing a character called Vanessa.
Oh, okay. You're right. No idea who that is. Yeah. So the episode opens with pretty much where we left off last week, where Thaisa reads the text messages about the meeting up with the extortionist, and she washes herself off, and then we go to the past, and she is cuts her hair in a mullet. It's really weird, a really nice mullet, and heads and recruits some other teenagers.
I had some questions about that too. I'm like,
the mullet or just who she recruited?
A single person on earth that can cut their hair that well. Sure are some dull ass scissors.
She looked good though, and she heads out to Who does she recruit? Let's get some names for these individuals. Because Van.
So Van for sure. Misty's there.
Yeah.
Of her own.
Which was a surprise. I wasn't expecting Misty. Were you expecting Misty to go to tag along? That's an odd one.
Yeah, I guess so. Because she can't really be the reveal of the first episode without commanding some sort of leadership.
Right. It's weird that she wanted to leave even though she's the one that destroyed the thing. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I thought that was a weird... needed some explanation. Her motive for going.
She's also very overprotective of every single person in the group.
That's true, too. Who else went? What's her name? Not Lottie went, and Akila went. Yeah, not Lottie. I don't really know her name. It's other
Is
Lottie.
It
yes, it's Mari. You're right. She's good. She's not like an IMDb. What? She's not one of the first ones. So yeah. I didn't want to go dig around for her name. So I just said not Lottie.
Well, because we're so used to like, for sure. I thought.
Yeah.
That character was probably going to die this episode or something, but but that was not the case.
Yeah. But just Van died, wink.
Wink.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, thumbnail for the next episode, IMDb, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, IMDb. I thought that they've built the relationship pretty well between Thaisa and Van. It's actually been an unexpected relationship, like get together, like them getting together. And then the way they've built upon it has been very kind of sweet and like interesting for the out of the flashback stuff. It's one of the more interesting developments. So
I like that. Yeah. You got like something that has like a solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got like a wishy-washy relationship with Travis and
Natalie.
Natalie.
Damn it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like if you ever meet us out in the wild, I'm definitely gonna forget your name within like the first 30 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is
Rolando Rowe for now.
5 years. what is it? Natalie is. This is not that. This was kind of like a boring continuation of. I don't know that of their development with Travis. Just
yeah, you get a little bit of a like a cute Natalie kind of casually pleads with him to stay because he was thinking about leaving.
Right.
So he does stay, and then they have an awkward nut sex again.
Which is weird. I mean, I thought we kind of already walked through why he's being awkward previous episode, because he's a virgin. But,
yeah.
I don't know why he's still awkward. It's like, bro.
I also took it as, which I know isn't explicitly said, but I thought maybe he had a little preemie incident, and then that's kind of why he was like, I need to leave.
Oh, you mean, yeah. Released his kids.
Released his little tadpoles.
How else could we make this disgusting?
That could be wrong. I don't know. Yeah. I could have completely.
I know what you mean. Yeah, he seemed really like awkward. And there's like, I'm just thinking like, now what's the problem? It's like, bro, like we get it. You're a virgin, blah, blah, blah. You're afraid of intimacy. Got it. So what else is the problem here?
And then we get a failing relationship between Jackie and Natalie.
Shauna. Yeah, the main event, huh? So now Jackie knows that Shauna slept with Jeff. Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah.
who I have a... No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that part later. Yeah. So she's pretty broken up about it. Also because Shauna is the worst fucking liar on earth. You got... Yeah. You got nobody that's going to rat on you. You can lie through your fucking teeth. Like, you know, some things like... I don't know how to explain this. I'm not condoning people lie, but if it's like that intense, maybe just keep lying until you can get out of the situation. Like,
yeah, I think,
I don't know what the appropriate time is for something like that in a situation like that.
I think it also, insinuates that, Shauna and Jackie know each other so well that like Jackie probably would, like, know if Shauna was lying. Plus she like lied in such a like I don't know,
obvious little, way.
Yeah like something that's disprovable and created more suspicion for Jackie. But I'm surprised Jackie like knew about the things she was writing, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Well, I think they kind of set that up with what's Travis's younger brother?
Oh, I don't remember his name, but yeah.
Like going through her shit to grab the knife or whatever it was.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was
I hate to say it, that kid's character is pretty fucking boring.
That kid is fucking weird. I feel like that kid's weird. I mean, he clearly
for something.
Yeah, exactly. I think he definitely liked Shauna. He made her the little like wood instrument thing, right? The little wood, not instrument. What am I talking about? Figure. And he was weird. Maybe the previous episode too, the previous episode when he was at the séance. Right? I mean, he's been a little off.
And then he's like, oh, I got a question. Are we going to die?
Yeah, that was super weird. And then this one, he's kind of been off this whole, like, quietly. He's been consistently odd. So, is this just this episode? I felt like it was more in the forefront. Like, him, just, you know, whatever it is that he's up to.
Yeah, anyway. I'm curious to see where his character goes, actually, because right now it's just a strange character.
Yeah.
Yes. So now I feel like we need to move on to the drop-off.
Okay, yeah.
We're finally going to... They're going to try to catch the person that's trying to blackmail them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, but there is a big scuffle. And Natalie almost fucking kills him, but I have a feeling, because I feel like we have two people that it could potentially be,
right?
That we're aware of, unless it's some random person, which I don't think it is. I feel like it's either her, the love interest she's cheating with, Shauna.
Ben? No. What's
Ben,
his name?
Yeah.
Sure. Is it Ben?
I feel like it is.
Okay.
Adam? Ben. So one of those guys, or Jeff.
I think it's Adam. His name's Adam. Jeff. It's not Ben.
Adam. Yeah.
It's Adam.
Oh,
yeah.
Ben. No, Ben is the coach.
The coach, yeah.
Either that guy or Jeff, which I'm leaning more towards Jeff.
Really? The husband? Why would the husband want to exploit his own wife?
Well, he is cheating on her. I don't know if it's like to get a bunch of money.
Is he, though? Is he? What did we actually see? You know what I mean? I think it's...
Enough.
I saw what I saw.
Well, yeah. So what happens at the end is like, as when Shauna goes back to her house, I already forgot his fucking
Adam. Adam?
Adam.
Yeah.
Is there waiting for her? Which made me suspect he was the guy, right? But also the car would, I guess you could switch out the car whenever. But they end up banging because he's like, I just want to chalk it up to he's a smooth talker. I'm not gonna say she actually bought into any of that shit, but they fall asleep in her bed, and Jeff shows up in the morning, which I also suspected that maybe Jeff had already been there and seen what happened and pretended to come back in, but maybe it is the first time he's shown up. I was half expecting him to, like, you know, he's hiding in the closet.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, just throw the shirt on the bed. The hamper's in the bathroom, blah, blah, blah. I'll take care of it later. He's like, okay, whatever. So he throws it on the bed, and I was half expecting her to look at it and there'd be glitter on the shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned that, but like there's this guy that is extorting them fell into like a big thing of like glitter. So he's covered in glitter.
Yeah, there's not a lot of male characters. So.
No. And from what I can gather, he's like a light-complected guy.
Yeah. I feel like. And you could be right. You easily could be right. They could easily explain why Jeff was doing this. But my suspicion is that they've tried really hard to paint Jeff as unlikable, you know, or negligent to Shauna's feelings. And he's being somebody who cheated on Jackie. And the whole point of that was to set up that in the beginning so they could kind of like iron out who he really is, why he did what he did. So by the end, Jeff's not really like a bad dude. He's kind of like just sometimes
theory, Jackie's dead spirit is in Jeff.
Yeah.
And has been okay. Married to Shauna this entire time.
Like that.
It's the long con.
Yeah. I don't know who. There's not a lot of suspects. You're right about that. Adam is obviously, but I also feel like they're going to head swerve Adam as well. I don't think he's going to be it's too obvious, but you never know. Sometimes shows try to throw you off only to lead you where you most suspect, you know, because, you know, they want to pretend like there's more mystery going on.
Bottle episodes.
Yeah, last week's episode sucked. This episode was a little better.
Yeah, we get all that. And then I think the only other important bit is like, Van's face gets eaten off by wolves.
Yep.
And Thaisa goes like violent towards the wolf and hacks the shit out of it.
That's right. Yeah, she killed it. Mm-hmm. Misty talked to her captor, which is how the previous episode ended. The reporter.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which is interesting. So she knows.
Also agrees that Travis was murdered.
Yeah.
But it wasn't her. Which, well, like, because I don't know why she hasn't just divulged that Thais is the person that hired her.
She did. She did this episode.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, I watched it too. And that's what happened.
No, yeah, she did. But Misty didn't have any kind of reaction to it, which is kind of weird. I'm not sure if she suspects more.
Maybe she does because she's like fucking bugging and tapping everybody.
Yeah.
So she probably knew about this the whole time.
She could have, yeah. She didn't really have the reaction. She didn't really have like a, there was no beat or emotional moment there. She's just like, continue to play, have this like power struggle with the woman.
Yeah.
Well,
that's no compass. I feel like in Inesha we covered everything. Yeah.
I think we hit all the bigger points. There's that funny moment where Teen Misty says goodbye to Ben because they're dating. They're secretly dating or whatever. That's a fun story.
And I appreciate everybody. Like, the entire team is all like, I'm sure Ben is just, like, enjoying the shit out of, like, not having Misty around, being weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they all realized and saw that. And also, I mean, Van's obviously dead, right?
Dead, like, wink. Yeah.
Unless, like, some talisman that Lottie gave her saved her life.
Oh, yeah. That's true. The bone talus, like, totem or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
She gave
to... The one
thing
that wasn't affected by the fire. But I'm like, yeah, I mean, that weird. Happens. But okay. Yeah.
She gave it to Thaisa. And then no, she gave it to Van, and then no, Van gave it to Thaisa. Yeah, and then I think that's what happened, right? And then Van got her face eaten, is dead. Wink. And I gotta once again praise Julia Lewis. I thought she was excellent in this episode. I think to me she's like the probably the best. Has the most like eccentric character and is doing the best with it, besides Misty, wow. Right?
Shot fired. Yeah, I was going to say shots fired at Misty.
Misty's fun too, but she's kind of like, for some reason, she's always sidelined from these other girls. They don't really have a ton. Yeah.
It's almost like she's being the puppet master too, though. I don't know.
I don't know, she yeah. You can't tell if she's like bad or good. She's just, she kind of does some stuff for her own self-interest, I think. More than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we hit all the high points, right? We didn't miss anything? Does
no,
it?
Yeah.
So we're looking for...
Last week. Yeah,
we're looking for a man with glitter. That's what we're waiting for. The fallout of that. Very cool. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Near Dark. John, do you want to give us a plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Catherine Bigelow's Near Dark. Coming in at number 3, modern cowboy learns to fight.
Yeah, okay.
It's a coming of age movie, right? That's
what yep.
What the basis of it is, sure. Coming in at number 2 for Near Dark. Rat pack of sci-fi punks.
Yeah.
They're all like, every time I watch this movie, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. It's just like the who's who of who did 80s sci-fi and horror movies back then. Especially, what's her name that got a lot of flack not too long ago for playing a Latina in Aliens?
Oh, yeah. Jeanette Goldstein.
Yes, yeah. The mother from... Terminator 2.
I did not know that was her, by the way. Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but I didn't know that was fucking her. I was like, holy shit. I read her. I was looking up her IMDb. I was like, is she still alive? And I was looking her up. She definitely is. You know, good for her. And I was like, in her bio, she's just like a chameleon of parts. And I'm like, what was she in? And I was like, okay, Aliens. She was in Aliens. She was in this. She was... in Terminator 2, and I was just like, oh, she was in Terminator 2? Who the fuck did she play? And it was the fucking mother, and I could not believe it. Yeah. I was like, I really honestly thought that she was Latina, but she definitely is not.
No, definitely I remember not. I was listening to a podcast where they interviewed her about doing parts like that and whatever. She was just like, you know, I got the part, and I try to do my best to, like, make that part a person or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Just an actress, actor, I mean, character actor.
If I'm if I'm willing to forgive Jack Black for Nacho Libre, and if anybody comes for Jack Black as a Nacho Libre, you're the racist one. That's what I decided. Because he's a national treasure, and I love that movie. So.
Yeah, that movie was kind of
good.
Offensive.
Right?
That's what you're good. Saying. No, it was good. It was good. But it's like, yeah, I guess in retrospect, yeah, he's not Hispanic. No. But wasn't that the joke? Is that? I don't know.
I don't know. I think his last name was Libre. I'm just kidding. So, and coming in at number 1 for Catherine Bigelow's Near Dark, Bill the fucking legend Paxton. All right, that's my reviews.
Oh, yeah.
Near Dark.
I love Bill Paxton.
Mads Hendrickson. I don't love Mads Hendrickson,
but I like him. He's a good, you know, he does a lot of good stuff. But I love Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Amazing actor. I forget how charismatic he is. I guess, I don't know why. What's a good way to describe this? He's like, just every time he's on screen, he's like a light bulb, right? Just shining the brightest constantly in this. And then you can see why, you know, he just did Aliens, right? Too. And yeah, he was playing the exact same character.
Terminator. Like,
yeah.
I don't remember at all what the other two punk guys look like, but I remember him in Terminator.
Yeah, and Weird Science and fucking, like, what is it? What's the other one? True Lies? Man, the guy was just like...
I was going to say, he's like, I love the movie True Lies, and he is by far my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, oh,
frailty.
Man.
Frailty.
Frailty? He's a different kind of energy, but yeah, he's super good.
Director, actor, yeah.
Great movie. Not, you know, it was underappreciated movies.
Apollo 13.
Like, this is just going to be us talking about how great Bill Paxton is, right? Yes. You don't know where it comes from. He goes, here or there. Whatever. Or was that Helen Hunt? I don't know. It could have been Helen Hunt's scene. But yeah.
The deleted scenes of Titanic.
The deleted scenes.
He's Coconut Pete in Club Dread. Anyway, so
yeah,
there's also other actors in it. Sure.
Sure. But, Bill Paxton, man, the guy, you know,
I mean, I'm not gonna, I mean, Tim Thomerson is in this and of Transfers fame, which I'm sure nobody knows about, but I fucking watched the shit out of those movies, Trancers, and it was the first time they tried to like do a like Puppet Master in Space sort of deal, or like on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did a series of movies. Do you remember these movies where like he becomes like a miniature sized person, and he's fighting like other things on a different planet, and then they did a follow-up movie where he fights a bunch of evil dolls. Anyway, if anybody's super into really bad B sci-fi movies.
What was it called?
I don't remember.
With Bill Paxton. Let us know
in the comments below. No, Tim Thomerson.
Oh, what are you talking about? Yeah.
But yeah, Tim Thomerson was like huge in like the B movie sci-fi world.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you got Joshua John Miller.
Yeah.
Of Teen Witch fame.
I only remember him in this movie. I know that I've seen him in other things, but this is the only movie like I consciously think of, like, oh yeah, it's that kid from Near Dark.
He was in what do you call it? Teen Witch. He was the younger brother, the like gross younger brother.
Hmm.
But then he became a writer, apparently.
No. Oh, good for him.
Well, not too many things, but he wrote a movie called The Final Girls, which I think is a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Oh wait, no, I'm wrong. No, it is the one I'm thinking of. Retract my previous statement. The movie he wrote, I thoroughly enjoyed.
Alrighty. What are your first thoughts of Near Dark?
I really enjoy this movie. Is it perfect? No.
No.
But is it a Western vampire movie? I guess. I know what people are saying when they say, like, well, it's like a Western style vampire movie. I'm like, sure. Like, I grew up watching Western movies, and I'm sure it's set in the West. I guess that's why it's a Western vampire movie.
Yeah. Modern Western? I don't know.
Sure. and it is fun to see, what's his name? Adrian Pascal, right? Is that his name? Or Pastar?
Pastar. Pastar.
Pastar.
Yeah.
Nathan Petrelli, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen Heroes?
Heroes. Yeah.
It's fun to see him as a young man because he definitely really didn't age a whole lot by the time he hit Heroes.
No, he just was, I mean, he was slightly younger, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everybody in this movie is enjoyable.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we got some fun scenes. I mean, Bill Paxton steals the movie anytime he's in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has the coolest fucking... well, I guess that's a spoiler. Never mind. He has the coolest fucking scene.
He has all the cool scenes. He has the best dialogue, yeah, the cool yeah. scenes at the end, and like he gets... Yeah, he's the coolest character in this. Best... Amazing part.
And it got me... This time around, I was trying to figure out how old everybody's supposed to be, but the only person you kind of get any sort of real idea is Lance Henriksen is probably from the 18th century or something.
Yeah, the Civil War. He insinuates he was alive during the Civil War, so even though he may have been alive longer than that, we don't know. He doesn't really go into it. But yeah, no, I like this movie because of how like it's grounded. It's... A grounded strips away a lot of like mythology of vampires. Just like there's just like no garlic, there's no like holy water, there's no Van Helsing. It's just like, and they don't explicitly say they're vampires. They never really like mention it, but they're vampires, right? They behave and act like vampires because they want to drink blood. Because
their blood is flammable.
In the sun and shit.
Because Catherine Bigelow figured out how to cure the vampire curse.
yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, no, I mean that those aspects of it, the sort of deconstruction of the vampire. I like movies like that where they like take things we should know about these like classic monsters like vampires, zombies. So on and so forth, and then kind of deconstruct them in like in a modern sense, and she definitely did that, and she basically has all the cast of Aliens, so in this movie,
essentially,
and I think everybody's perfectly cast, but I think the one person who kind of is the weakest is May. I was not feeling her this time. In all my rewatches, I've never had any issues with her. Like I was like, fine, right. But something about her performance didn't work for me this time. Actually, their whole like love story doesn't work, which was kind of odd. It's a little clunky.
And unfortunately, what's her name? Jenny Wright has done a lot of. She's had some great performances, but. I don't know. Compared to like, I hate to compare it to the only other female person in the cast, but Jeanette Goldstein is fucking amazing. You know, like,
yeah, she is. She's I mean, just the all of the like vampires or whatever group or whatever is perfectly cast. Like they're all like wonderful character actors. Yeah, her performance.
I mean, you could argue that Joshua John Miller's Homer character could have been better, but.
They definitely leave a lot to be imagined with his character because he's clearly desperate for a relationship companion. There you go. Yeah. A companion. And I believe that they insinuate that he turned May insinuating that that was going to be the person that he like probably has affection for or liked, but was too old for him, even though he is old. He's supposed to be like old in his age, but stays young. So
yeah, the what is the that Anne Rice character, but like the one that oh my god, what's her name?
Kristen Dunst. Kristen Dunst. Yeah. Dunst.
I'm just waiting for everybody to go Zendaya. No,
yeah. yeah, no, like yeah, that he was desperate for a companion or somebody his own age, so to turn and hang out with, and
yeah. Which also watching him, I couldn't like get out of my head like, nah, but you're the younger brother from Teen Witch, so you're just kind of
like, yeah.
Even though he's dressed like Kyle Reese the entire movie, Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I don't know why I felt like this time around, things felt a little bit slower.
You know, one thing that didn't work for me this time, I know it sounds like we don't like this movie, but the other thing that didn't work for me was the score. I didn't really like the Tangerine Dream score. It did not work for me this time.
I gotta agree with you there too. Yeah, I mean it felt okay some places, but then other places I'm like, this is like not,
I don't know, stood out in places. Yeah,
also throwing off the Western idea of the movie for me. I'm like, well, okay, like I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know. I feel bad. I feel like we are shitting on the movie, but we've also seen this movie several times, so we're trying
to
be critical here.
It's a favorite.
I will again watch it again later. You know, it's like.
Are you a fan of Kathryn Bigelow at all? Her other movies? Any of your other movies she's done?
Hurt Locker.
You like that?
Right? No, not really. It was okay.
I thought it was interesting.
I'm confusing the title of Near Dark. What was the other one?
Zero Dark 30.
That one I liked.
That one was really good. Yeah.
That one I thought was good. I mean, Strange Days is like
underrated.
You can digest it. It's a pretty fucking good movie, I think.
What's so great is that Kathryn Bigelow kind of breaks tropes, right? She kind of likes this action thriller genre very much.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Like, how long do we go without? We're just trying to piss off listeners.
Well, I mean, this is too, like, I think that she's unique in that sense. No, I mean, that, like,
we're trying to piss off listeners by not listing her, like, most famous fucking movie. Just like,
what's her most famous movie?
Point Break.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, that's not one of my favorites, so I wouldn't ideally talk about it.
Anyway,
I mean,
so Rolando hates surfing.
Yes. I almost drowned once. I hate the beach in general.
There you go. There you go, Kathryn Bigelow.
And I'm holding her personally responsible for me drowning. So how about that? No, yeah, I mean that fits into what I was saying. Like, she kind of likes that, like, you know, action thriller genre. You know, I mean, she definitely like is not afraid of genre movies, right? She kind of jumps from horror to action to surfing or whatever, and it's all plausible, and she gets really good performances, iconic performances, really. I mean, Near Dark, Point Break, I would even say Strange Days. I mean, that movie has its fans, but it's definitely like a cult movie. So
definitely a cult movie. I mean, much like this one.
She got Jeremy Renner, right, was on the mat with Hurt Locker, and she was Zero Dark 30, who I thought was won Best Picture, or did she just win Best Director? I don't remember.
I don't remember. Was that the Best Picture winner?
I don't remember. Yeah, it could have been. I know that she won Best Director.
I believe it. Yeah. But then we also got arguably, was she the person that brought Keanu Reeves out of just being the Bill and Ted character into something more serious?
Interesting. Well, no, I mean, he had done like other like serious indies, but You're right. I don't know if she was the first one to cast him in like an action.
Yeah, as opposed to like, because I don't think, I want to say he didn't have anything that serious before then.
Possibly. I got to check his IMDb, which is what we're attempting to do.
Yeah, like even Speed came out. Well, yeah. Speed obviously came out after.
91?
I want to say that was his first like serious, like bringing him to the spotlight of being like a more professional actor as opposed to just being like the goofy teenage, quote unquote, not stoner.
I'm gonna agree with you. Yeah, he did do Dangerous Liaison, but that was during his Bill and Ted stuff in the '80s. He'd also done like Over the Edge too in the '80s, I believe. Unless
Over the Edge acting.
Was it Over the Edge? Over.
Let us know in the comments below.
Now we're talking about Keanu Reeves. No, actually, that is a great pool. He did. That was the first time he had done anything cast as like an action hero. Yeah. Playing Johnny
like
Utah.
A serious, yeah.
Because then after that, he did like Dracula and Much Ado About Nothing and Luda Buddha, Speed, of course. Like, she kind of like saw it in him to like cast him in as this, you know, action lead, which he's still doing today, John Wick, right? So,
and also like she just knows how to pick him, like a little known actor nobody had ever heard of, this guy named Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
Is the cover for Near Dark all over the place, even though he's like far from being the lead character.
I mean, I would argue he's the most fun character, the most memorable character you walk away from this movie easily.
You also gotta like, what if you pay attention to his leather jacket, the one that he wears casually as opposed to like his costumes to like try to pick people up, he's got a bunch of like sheriff's badges on it to suggest those are all the counties he've been to and the sheriffs he's killed. Which also makes me think there's several moments where they're trying to get away. I know we're not really explaining the movie too well, but I just assume everybody's seen this movie.
Well, I mean, you read the plot description.
Watch it. There's a part where Adam Pastar has a change of heart and he decides that he wants to be a part of this family of like killer, quote unquote, vampires only because he's in love with Aunt May, right?
Yeah.
And risks his undead life, which I have a lot of questions about that. So they heal really quick because otherwise the end doesn't make too much sense to me. But
yeah,
something I never questioned before. Saves them all, and then they're depending on Lance Hendrickson to be like, hey, get us to someplace safe, unless I'm thinking remembering this wrong. But he goes to a hotel and the clerk is like, hey, you look familiar, have you been here before? He's like, oh yeah, I check into this place like every like, I don't know, like 60 or 70 years or something.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's actually one of those.
It's a testament of how good that motel is because it's been around.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I think that's one of the cooler, more interesting things is that the vampires in the story, they're a family, right? They're basically, there's a mother figure, a father figure, kid, you know, brother, sister, kind of like there's a family dynamic. The first time we see them, they're in like a Winnebago, so they're traveling or whatever, quote unquote. So those are like nice touches for like
a Winnebago,
for basically insinuating that they're a family and that they're that, of course, once we get to know them, their dynamic is different, right? Much different than than what is there and stuff like that. So him basically leaving his, which I think they could have done more with, if like, if what is it? Caleb was, maybe had difficulties with his human family. And you know,
yeah, that was
they were too nice, well, right? They were like too perfect.
A lot of this movie happens just like kind of fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like obviously a low budget. Let's put it that way.
He meets May right away, and he tries to like pressure her into sex, which I thought was kind of hot. Pressure her into like kissing him and like some kind of sexual activity and stuff. So I thought that was a little,
including taking her out to like a ranch and then deciding to fucking lasso her like a fucking savage. Like
I'm not, yeah, I shouldn't say
savage. Like a, you know, it was when that part happened, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then I think it was to showcase that she's like way stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to begin with, I was like, why the fuck did he fucking lasso her? What was that?
I think Caleb was really unlikable. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
Like, I don't really like the fact that like she's telling him like, oh, take me home or whatever. And he's like, oh, I'm going to stop the car here. I'm going to hide the keys. Like, come on, dude. Like, shit's not cute. You're like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too like I couldn't empathize with this guy turning, you know, like.
No. A part of me was kind of like, well, if he dies, he dies. But then I guess he does have a bit of a turn at the end, sort of. I don't know.
Sure. I mean,
but this is the charm of 80s. movies where it's like very gritty and you're not really concerned about relationships.
I mean, and he also has like a really sweet, thoughtful family who look for him, his dad, his younger sister or whatever, child sister. So I'm not really seeing any like conflict with this guy. This guy was kind of like dull and rapey. If I'm being like critical, if I'm through a modern lens, I'm looking at him like through a modern lens and it's like, yeah, this guy's not like somebody, he's supposed to be the main character and I don't really see anything to like about him or empathize with him much.
Yeah, you're right. He kept trying to pressure her.
And I actually empathize more with the family of vampires. to an extent, right? To an extent.
Because pretty much every other character just kind of seemed like bad people also.
Yeah.
I mean, except for like the dad, the daughter, and then the truck driver that was trying to be nice.
Yeah, he's pulled over so he could throw up. I had another... thought here. The only thing that I like is that it's the movie opens, it's kind of set up oppositely. We think May should be like the helpless one in this scenario, but because of who she is, Caleb is actually the vulnerable one, which is a really smart, you know, playing it against each other, right? Like he's not really the predatorial person in this, it's actually her. She's luring him to basically kill him and eat him or drain him of his blood and stuff. So but for reasons she fell in love with him.
Sees him.
Stockholm syndrome.
It worked. I mean, should we get into spoilers so we can be like, well, that happened, so
yeah, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Everybody's death is kind of... cool.
Yeah.
So the entire family of vampires do die in, like, pretty cool ways, actually. But the end of this is really Thomerson's character, the dad, gives Caleb a blood transfusion because Caleb's like, you can do blood transfusions. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you can totally do that in a barn. That's normal. It's fine.
Yeah.
And it cures him of his vampirism. And I thought for sure, because he never killed anybody, that's why. But nope, they just needed a blood transfusion.
Well, there's two blood transfusions. May, too. May, obviously, just we got less blood. Yeah, we did it once. It worked. Do it twice. Why not? Sure.
Which made me think, like, how old is May, and is she going to rapidly age, or, like, how does it work? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe they just start aging again by that point. But, yeah. Before we get to the best death scene, who do we get? We got a bunch of people get pretty brutally massacred by the vampires throughout the movie. But when they die, it's a very, I don't know, reminiscent of like Bonnie and Clyde, where everybody's just going out fighting. Because even, what was your character's name?
You're talking about Jeanette? Jeanette?
Yeah, Diamondback.
Sure. Sure, her name was Diamondback.
She kind of whispers good times, like very aware that they're gonna die.
And right. Yeah.
Nixon's just like driving the car, trying to run them over because they're now in broad daylight. May is trying to run away with we completely glossed over. Vampire family kidnaps Caleb's younger sister, basically to hold her hostage, right?
Because Homer takes a liking to her, right?
Yeah. But they're also using her as leverage.
Mm-hmm.
May has that change of heart, jumps out of the car, starts running away. Because she's more pure of heart, I'm assuming she doesn't go up in flames quite as quick as everybody else.
Yeah.
Luckily, Caleb, after the fact of other people dying, is able to put a coat on her and she survives. But the kid, Joshua's character, is just like running out in the middle of the open and just goes up in flames and finally falls down. And then Lance Hendrickson and Jeanette are trying to run him over because he's like determined. And then the car just kind of slows down and explodes. Because they're the oldest, I'm assuming. So they would explode the vehicle, and other characters aren't as old. So they just kind of burn up.
Okay.
Yeah, I found some logic.
That checks. Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's you definitely did. You connected the dots there for sure.
But there's also like a cool factor, because if you're the fucking coolest one, you can definitely make an entire semi truck explode, which is where we get to Bill Paxton's character.
Yeah, we get to the
Clearly he's on a suicide mission, I'm assuming, because there was no real thought behind how he's going to like stop Caleb. They fight for a while. Caleb stops some dude that's driving a semi truck down the street and tries to get him out of the car. And Bill Paxton shoots that dude in the head. And I like that Caleb's just like, sorry, I'm so sorry. But like under his breath, like, sorry. He just like pulls the guy's body out and runs over Bill Paxton. You think that's it. But then you get the iconic cover of Near Dark where Bill Paxton's entire side of his face is fucking gone.
Yeah.
And he's just like screaming and pulling so many wires that probably do not exist in vehicles to begin with out of the hood.
Yeah.
After he punctures his hand through it and just starts ripping wires after wires out. And then finally, Caleb jumps out the truck and Bill Paxton's just going like, "Whoa!" And the truck explodes.
Yeah.
And that was the coolest death in the movie.
Definitely, yeah. The best. And it happened first. I don't want to forget to mention the Hick bar that the destroy or incinerate.
Yeah, like, the assault. One where Caleb gets shotgunned in the stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that is also another iconic scene that we have in this movie that we haven't talked about. Basically, what is it? Caleb hasn't killed anybody. So they take him to this bar so he can. And I think they did a great job. Well, not only it's brutal, it's violent. It shows, I believe, their dynamic, right? Like their personalities as well in this scene. Diamondback takes care of, she like slits a girl's throat, the waitress's throat for, what's his face? What was his name?
Lance Hendrickson.
Jesse Hooker is his name. Lex Henderson, yeah. And she's providing, you know, blood for him, right? And the son is just kind of dancing around, okay with all the craziness. And yeah, Bill Paxton is, of course, purposely trying to, like pick fights with all of these guys in the bar by calling them hicks and spilling their drinks. And it's like...
comes in, knocks over... some dudes shot and they're about to fight. And then Bill Paxton's way of getting out of it is putting a little bit of beer foam on his chin and goes like, have you heard of Buffalo Bill? And the dude's like, okay. He's like, this guy's all right. Get him another one.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand, but yeah, that works.
Yeah.
And then he has that one fight with that other dude who's like, I don't want any trouble. And the dude's last ditch effort is to try to choke Bill Paxton, but Paxton's just like, and just starts laughing.
Yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah, and it's excellently done. One of the most iconic scenes in this movie, plus, you know, the look and the style and the aesthetic and the action of this movie is also iconic. But yeah, no, I mean, excellent scene. Brutal. Very violent. Yep. Which leads to them. So what's his face still doesn't kill anybody, but then lets that one of the guys goes, one of the hostages or whatever, bar patron leave. And he's the one that basically rats him out. And then we have that scene where they're rightfully at the hotel.
Yeah. Which, yeah, that whole, like, shootout scene was, like, a lot of fun. That was cool.
Yeah. But I love the idea that because it's surrounded and they're shooting in and out of the hotel, it's creating, it's, what is it? It has all those lights, the pools of lights were also the most...
Yeah.
Was the things that they were most being affected by? Not really the bullets or anything. It's in this movie, they don't really... Nothing happens to them when they get shot. They're basically invulnerable.
And the lights were showcased to make it look like it looked different to them, I suppose, is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because like obviously they shot their part of the stuff at night or in a studio, but I'm assuming at night.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're flashing like 1Ks through the door.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Blast. So yeah. Like, obviously not daytime.
It looked really cool. Yeah, it's very stylized, that scene, which is really cool. They had a shootout. It's a Western. Really cool.
Yeah,
really
basically got the movie. I mean, I feel like even if you don't find anything we're saying interesting about the film, it is 100% worth watching Bill Paxton in this movie.
Yeah,
Severin. It's just like, that's a weird name for me to say a million times, so. Come, Bill Paxton.
I know, Sarah. Severin. That's a weird name. Cool name. Alrighty. Do you have any other last thoughts?
No, I think I got them all out. Bill Paxton's a legend. There you go.
I know this is supposed to be celebrating International Women's Month, but we just talked about Bill Paxton the entire time.
Look, Catherine Bigelow obviously knew. Like, I just cast Bill Paxton in this, you know, movie done. Damn.
No, yeah. I mean, she's one of the most important filmmakers of our generation, you know, and does things unconventionally.
A very good character. Yeah.
Yeah.
She can pull a very good performance out of somebody.
A lot of great, like, not only this movie, but like her entire filmography is littered with great performances, like whether... you know, cult classics or, you know, people winning Oscars. So yeah, no, definitely. She's one of the most talented directors we have working.
Yeah, didn't love Hurt Locker, but Jeremy Renner's portrayal, like the character he played, I was like, this is really fucking good. Like,
yeah,
got some great shit out of
him. Mm-hmm. She definitely had like the tension and the sort of she definitely puts you in the mindset of the character as well, really well. I think she does that really well. She definitely has a lot of like characters that make questionable decisions, but she still finds ways for you to like empathize with them and care for them. So.
Agreed.
Alrighty. John, how many sexy bones, blah, 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 blah. Let me run that back. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Catherine Hardwicks. Not Hardwicks, Catherine.
We're just off, man. It's been a it's been wild a week.
If anybody wants a timeline of what's been going on this week, it has been some sort of weird fucking storm coming
Snowgetting
through.
Snowgetting in LA.
Yeah, we've been turned upside down here. And also Catherine Hardwick, shout out. She's from our area, Texas.
Always in the mind, always in the heart. Yeah.
Catherine Hardwick. In the heart. Yeah. Thank you for
not much.
that vampire movie, what was it called? The big vampire movie. Anyway, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Look
Twilight,
it up.
Twilight.
Yeah, look it up.
I'm going to give Catherine Bigelow's Near Dark 6.6 sexy spooky bones.
I'm going to go a little higher. I think I'll give this one a 7. I think it's a 7. It's really entertaining. I think we've seen it a lot. So, not only is it, that's why I wanted to, pick this movie is not only because Catherine Bigelow directed it, but because I think like all of these movies that we've already seen, I feel like we should talk about them on the show. So we have like a document of them. So there's always, you know, talk about some of our favorites, not only just like new stuff or whatever. So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think we're going to, you know, venture more into watching the rest of Ethan Hawke and Bill Paxton's.
Eventually. Yeah.
For that.
Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky, man.
I love it.